Let the roll call be dispensed with and the sergeant-at-arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
On the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion prevails.
Today's chaplain is Reverend Arden Hogg from the Christ Lutheran Church in Marine on the St. Croix, and remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Let us pray. Gracious Lord, we give you thanks for this new day. We thank you for the glorious weekend that we have enjoyed throughout this state, the excitement of young love as couples go off on their high school proms. We thank you for the joy of young families playing soccer and baseball. We thank you for the excitement in our towns of the changes of the seasons. We thank you for the glory of the fields now being prepared. We thank you, O Lord, for so many gifts. We pray now that as you bring again to this earth and to our state the joy of a proper blessing of rain and sun, bringing fruit and life to the earth and to the fields, we pray that you would bring us this day that share of your wisdom, of your insight, of your patience, of your hope. We pray that as we do again the work that you have called us to do, we pray that you would give us that patience, always remembering those we serve, and may they always believe in the promises of this good land and of your bounty. Bless us now, bless our time together, and bless the work of this your Senate. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Very good. Yep, nice. Secretary will take the roll.
Anderson, Bach, Berglund, Betzold, Bonhoff, Carlson, Chaudhry, Clark, Cohen, Day, Dibble, Dill, Dahl, Erickson, Ropes, Fischbach, Foley, Fredrickson, Gerlach, Kimsey, Han, Higgins, Ingebrigtsen, Johnson, Jungbauer, Koch, Coring, Kubli, Langseth, Larson, Latz, Limmer, Laurie, Lynch, Marty, Metzen, Michelle, Moi, Murphy, Neville, Olsen, Olson G, Olson M, Ortman, Pappas, Pariseau, Pogemiller, Prentner, Solon, Rest, Roebling, Rosen, Rummel, Saltzman, Saxhog, Scheid, Senjum, Sharon, Sieben, Skoy, Skogan, Sparks, Stump, Tomasoni, Torres Ray, Vandeveer, Vickerman, Wergen, and Wieger. Quorum is present.
Quorum is present. First order of business is messages from the House.
Mr. President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following Senate files herewith returned. Senate file numbers 1483 and 1807, signed Albany Mathewitz, Chief Clerk of the House of Representatives. And, Mr. President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following Senate file is amended by the House, in which amendments the concurrence of the Senate is respectfully requested. Senate File 420, a bill for an act relating to natural resources, providing for pest control measures, etc. Senate File 420 is herewith returned to the Senate. Albany Mathewitz, Chief Clerk of the House of Representatives.
Senator Saxhog.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that the Senate concur in the amendments by the House to Senate file number 420 and that the bill be placed on its repassage as amended.
Okay. Senator Saxhog, maybe you could explain the differences of the language of the...
This was the firewood bill, Mr. President. The other body added language that requires any wood coming from over 100 miles to be labeled with the location that it originated. This will give extra protection to our state. And there's a copy of a newspaper article from last week that shows how important the language is to the bill. that was about a bunch of firewood that got into the state at a Menards that had the borers in it. So I appreciate member support and stand for questions.
Okay, the changes can be seen in the Journal of April 27th, the House Journal, pages 48, 43, and 48 through 48. Senator Frederickson.
Mr. President, will Senator Saxog yield?
He will yield.
Mr. President, Senator Saxog, what is the difference between the Senate bill and the House amended?
Senator Saxog.
Senator Frederickson, it does is add language that requires any wood coming from over 100 miles to be labeled with the location that it originated.
Further discussion on the Saxog motion. Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Third reading.
Senate File 420, a bill for an act relating to natural resources, providing for pest control measures, requiring approved firewood on land administered by the Commissioner of Natural Resources, etc.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There'll be 52 ayes and 6 nays. The bill is passed and its title agreed to.
And, Mr. President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following Senate file, as amended by the House, in which amendments of concurrence of the Senate is respectfully requested. Senate File 1236, a bill for an act relating to state employees making technical and housekeeping changes. Senate File 1236 is herewith returned to the Senate.
Senator Michel.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members, I move that the Senate concur in the amendments by the House to Senate File 1236 and that the bill be placed on its repassage as amended.
Okay, the changes, the differences are in House Journal, April 27th, page 4854 through 4857. Senator Michel, explain the difference.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members, this is the Department of Employee Relations technical and housekeeping bill. There's really been no controversy with this measure. The only difference, Mr. President, is that the House preferred that language be placed in session law as opposed to in statutes. So that's the difference with the measure as it comes back to the Senate. The department is fine with that and is recommending that we pass it as is. I agree, Mr. President.
Any discussion on Senate File 1236? Seeing none, Secretary will give Senate File 1236 its third reading.
Senate File 1236, a bill for an act relating to state employees making technical and housekeeping changes.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There being 60 ayes, 0 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. The next order of business will be motions and resolutions. There are two resolutions printed on today's agenda. Without objection, the resolutions will be sent to the Rules Committee. The next order of business will be the calendar for the day.
Mr. President, Mr. President, we're going to do that under motions and resolutions.
Yeah.
So I'd move that we take up the calendar.
Okay. On the motion, all those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Again, there are appears to be like 17 bills we will be voting on this morning, so or this afternoon, I guess. So
third reading.
Yeah. The first bill on the calendar will be Senate File 802, third reading.
Senate File 802, a bill for an act relating to health, mortuary science, changing provisions dealing with mortuary science.
Secretary will take the roll. Shouldn't bring them up and put them up there. I won't think about it. Let's think about it. All senators having voted. Desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There will be at 61 ayes, 0 nays. The bill is passed and the state agreed to. Second bill on the calendar will be Senate File 1429. Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate File 1429, a bill for an act related to motor carriers changing certain financial liability requirements for charitable organizations.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators, every voted, desired vote. Secretary will close the roll. There will be 60 ayes, 0 nays. The bill is passed. It's still agreed to. Next bill on the calendar, number 3, House File 532. Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
House File 532, a bill for an act relating to consumer protection, regulating certain contracts entered into by military service personnel.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted. Desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There will be at 62 ayes, 0 nays. The bill is passed. It's still agreed to. The fourth bill on the calendar will be Senate File 514. Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate File 514, a bill for an act relating to employment, regulating unpaid work for cash assistance.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There will be at 40 ayes, 22 nays. The bill is passed. It's title agreed to. The fifth bill on the calendar is Senate File 868. Secretary will give Senate File 868 its third reading.
Senate File 568. Senate File 868, a bill for an act relating to occupations and professions, changing provisions for speech, language, pathologists, and audiologists.
Secretary will take the roll. Having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There'll be 61 ayes, 2 nays. The bill is passed and it's not agreed to. The sixth bill on the calendar is Senate File 1302. Secretary will give the bill its third reading. You can bring this up.
Senate File 1302, a bill for an act related to metropolitan government modifying provisions governing Metropolitan Livable Communities Fund, etc.
Secretary will take the roll. Secretary will close the roll. There'll be 59 ayes and 2 nays. The bill is passed and its title agreed to. The seventh bill on the calendar, Senate File 1791. Secretary will give Senate File 1791 its third reading.
Senate File 1791, a bill for an act relating to education, integrating instruction about the contributions of Minnesota American Indian tribes and communities into student learning and teacher preparation and licensing requirements, etc.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There'll be 47 ayes and 14 nays. The bill is passed and its title agreed to. The eighth bill on the calendar will be Senate File 596. Secretary will give Senate File 596 its third reading.
Senate File 596, a bill for an act relating to data practices, clarifying duties and classifications, making technical changes, etc.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will. Secretary will close the roll. There'll be 64 ayes, 0 nays. The bill is passed and its title agreed to. The ninth bill on the calendar, Senate File 988. Secretary will give Senate File 988 its third reading.
Senate File 988, the bill for an act relating to mortgages prohibiting certain predatory lending practices.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There'll be 64 ayes, 0 nays. The bill is passed and its title agreed to. Next bill on the calendar is number 10, Senate File 2231. Secretary will give Senate File 2231 its third reading.
Senate File 2231, a bill for an act relating to human services, making changes to continuing care provisions, changing long-term care provisions, etc.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There be it 62 ayes, 1 nay. The bill is passed and it's still agreed to. The 11th bill on the calendar be Senate File 118. Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate File 118, a bill for an act relating to state government, adding legislators who represent the Capital Area as non-voting members of the Capital Area Architectural and Planning Board.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There be it 62 ayes, 1 nay. The bill is passed and its title agreed to. The 12th bill on the calendar will be House File number 455. Secretary will give House File 455 its third reading.
House File 455, a bill for an act relating to public defense, updating and clarifying public defense provisions of law.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There be it 63 ayes, 0 nays. The bill is passed and it's still agreed to. The 13th bill on the calendar will be House File 854. The Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
House File 854, a bill for an act relating to the environment, providing for collection, transportation, and recycling of video display devices, etc.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. Be it 63 ayes, 1 nay. The bill is passed and its title agreed to. Number 14 on the Senate calendar will be Senate File 1126. Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate File 1126, a bill for an act related to public safety, limiting predatory offender registration for certain persons under the age of 16.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There being 63 ayes, 0 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Number 15. On the Senate calendar, Senate File 599. Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate File 599, a resolution urging the President and Congress to end trade, financial, and travel restrictions to Cuba.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. We had 42 ayes, 22 nays. The bill is passed and its title agreed to. I'm going to restate the resolution is passed. Next bill on the calendar. Number 16, Senate File number 140. Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate File 140, a bill for an act relating to commerce, regulating customer access to restroom facilities.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There'll be at 54 ayes, 10 nays. The bill is passed and its title agreed. The last bill on the Senate calendar this afternoon will be number 17, Senate File 1186. Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate File 1186, a bill for an act related to public facilities, modifying provisions of the Minnesota Public Facilities Authority Act.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. Being 64 ayes, 0 nays, the bill is passed. Its title agreed to. Without objection, Senator Pogermiller will take up introduction and first reading of Senate bills. There are two printed on today's agenda. Without objection, first reading of Senate bills. Senator Pogermiller.
Mr. President, I move the Senate to now resolve itself into a committee of the whole for the purpose of taking up the general orders calendar.
All in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. The committee shall be in order.
Mr. President, members, let's try number 33, the omnibus environment bill that was progressed the other day. Let's start with that. Today we will be waiting for the bonding bill to come over from the House. And we might try number 20, domestic partners bill that Senator Marty progressed the other day also. But let's start with number 33.
Senator Chaudhry.
Thank you, Mr. President, members. This is the Omnibus Environment Policy Committee, which we were our continuing discussion. We left off with the discussion regarding the wildlife management area.
Senator Chaudhry, did you wish to make a motion?
Sorry, Mr. President. When the committee do now rise, Senate File 1312 be recommended to pass.
Okay. Very good. Now discussion on the bill.
And so this continues discussion, members, on the Environment Policy Committee. We left off with the wildlife management area amendment, and since that discussion, I have crafted a more scaled down version of the amendment. I've reduced it to only two wildlife management areas. They're the only two that are related to the lengthy problem that we discussed, and the specific problem, and so I hope members can support it. The A54.
Secretary will report the Chaudhry A54 amendment.
Senator Chaudhry moves to amend Senate File 1312, the third engrossment, as follows, page 43 after line 16, insert.
Senator Chaudhry on the amendment.
Mr. President, we had a lengthy discussion on this on Friday, so I'm not going to rehash the entire amendment, the issue, but let me just reiterate that this is a landowner rights issue. Those of us that supported changes to eminent domain because of a person's right to sell their land to whom they wish should be readily able to support this amendment. And secondly, this is about someone's ability to preserve their own land and attach it to a wildlife management area only in the metro area and only in this particular area where we have the largest wildlife management area in the metro that we want to preserve and be able to resist encroachment. So I'm not going to go too far into this because we had a lengthy discussion, but I would urge members to support the amendment and Mr. President to ask for a roll call.
Three hands.
Sparks, get your hand.
There'll be a roll call. Senator Betzel on the amendment.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I believe the amendment is out of order. This issue was decided last time the Senate met as a committee of the whole. I'll call to the body's attention a couple of provisions of Mason's. One is Section 65, finality of actions. Another is Section 398, decision on amendment is final. What we have here is the debate that we had last Friday was not whether some of these parcels of land that were being exempted out of this statute, whether a few of them or some of them or all of them should be exempted out. It was the issue that was decided. This tries to put right back in the bill the very same issue that this body decided. For those who may not have recalled the debate from last Friday, we have a statute that says that if there is to be a sale to the DNR, then the local government has the right.
Senator Betzel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The statute says that if there is to be a sale to the DNR, the local government has the right to approve or disapprove it within 90 days. However, the bill that we had before us last Friday exempted out one particular area in Anoka County, which this amendment is now trying to put back in, that this body voted to take out of that bill. This matter, this addresses a decision that was made by the Columbus Township, which, by the way, is not in my district, and it's not Senator Chaudhry's district either. This exempts out one decision that was made by one city and by one county board by a 5-2 decision to not permit this sale. For whatever reason, Senator Chaudhry wants to have our decision go against the decision that was made locally, even though state law provides that that decision be made. Furthermore, there is a lawsuit pending on this very issue. The people who are involved with this land are now suing the county and the city, claiming that the approval should have been given. We do not inject the legislative process into a pending lawsuit just because we don't like a particular decision the local government has made. I don't believe that this, again, Mr. Chairman, I don't believe this amendment is in order. I certainly believe that this Senate should follow the logic that it had last week and say we should not permit this provision to be part of this bill, and that we should, if the amendment is determined to be in order, I think that the amendment should be voted down. So, Mr. Chairman, I ask that you review the amendment and determine whether it's even in order based upon the decision that was made last Friday by the Committee of the Whole.
Mr. President,
while you're doing that, could you encourage members to bring the noise level down? I'm having a hard time hearing, and I sit right next to them.
Is the motion identical, Senator Chaudhry?
Mr. President, advice?
Advice.
Mr. President, this is not the same amendment as, or the same provision that was in the bill on Friday. I have intentionally changed it. And that's why I had to draft up a separate amendment. Otherwise, I could just move for reconsideration. the previous provision had a host of other wildlife management areas in it, and this amendment only has two, so the impact is quite different than it did than the provision had on Friday. I would also indicate, Mr. President, that the amendment on Friday was to take out a provision in the bill. This is to insert a provision in the bill, so it's not the same amendment, and in form or substance.
Well, Mr. Chairman,
Senator Betzel,
the amendment last Friday was my amendment to remove a provision from the bill. This is basically the very same thing that this body removed. It is the same area of land that we're talking about. It's been recategorized to in different words, but we're talking about the very same provision of land, the very same section of statute, and what Senator Chaudhary is doing is trying to put back in the bill that which this body voted to take out of the bill last Friday. So my amendment was to take it out of the bill, which this body voted on. And now we're trying to put it back in, dealing with the very same area of land which we voted to take out. It's the very same land that's affected by this decision by the local government. It's the very same area of land that's affected by this lawsuit. So we're essentially going right back in without a motion to reconsider to do the very same thing that we voted on last Friday.
I'm going to rule that the motion is in order. The exemption that we talked about the other day, there were about four or five or six exemptions, and this one is narrowed down to two. So I think we can proceed. Senator Betzel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I urge the members to again, as you voted last Friday, to defeat this provision and keep this out of the bill. Again, the effect is the very same. We have a law that says that if the local government does not approve of the sale, that they can vote it down. That is the law. Now, if there's a desire to go back and change that law, that's probably a fair debate to have. But for this body, for the legislature, to decide that we don't like a single decision that was made by a single township and a single county, and we're going to now inject it in violation of the very state law that's sitting there, is very offensive to that process. And remember, again, there's some litigation going on with this. Are we going to substitute our judgment for the decision of the courts? If the litigation runs its course and we don't like the court's decision, then we can always go back and revisit it again. And that's typically what we do. And in fact, I'll call to your attention again, Mason's section 111 states that it is that any matter awaiting adjudication in court should not be debated or discussed in a legislative body. In this amendment, this provision forces us to do exactly that. Members, I urge you to defeat this amendment.
Senator Chaudhary, on the amendment.
Just some last points on this, Mr. Chair. We are one person wants to sell their land in order to preserve it, and the government is not allowing him to do so. And I think that's wrong. The Environment Committee discussed this issue thoroughly and agreed that it was wrong. And so, I should also mention that the Finance Committee also said that we're not going to remove this provision from the bill. So we are trying to preserve land. We are actually, what we're doing here is saving the county litigation costs, and I think that's a good thing. By the way, we're probably going to save the city litigation costs too. And I should also mention that the city is going to get paid for this property. When it's in the WMA, they are going to get payment in lieu of taxes payments, because we have a provision in the tax bill that's going to allow that. So I think the judgment here that this we're trying to subvert local control is incorrect. In fact, we are supporting local control, the ability of a local landowner to do as they wish with their property.
Senator Betzel.
Mr. Chairman, I don't serve on the Environment Committee, so I don't know if there's extensive discussions or not. I would leave it to those who serve on that committee to tell me. I'm told there was not. I'm also told there was not a bill introduced on this topic. Senator Chaudhry did say that the Finance Committee did support this policy. No, they did not. Senator Chaudhry himself at the Finance Committee asked that this not be considered the Finance Committee and it be considered on the floor. And quite properly, the Finance Committee felt that because it was a policy issue, not a finance issue, it belonged on the floor, not on the Finance Committee. So I think it's just disingenuous to argue that because the Finance Committee supported this and that added validity to it. They just did not want to go into the merits of this. Senator Chaudhry asked me to have it decided on the floor. It was decided on the floor last Friday. It was taken out of the bill. I asked the body not to put it back in the bill.
Senator Olson, on the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think there are a few points that need clarification. I don't believe this provision was ever a bill that had a thorough discussion in the Environment Committee. The bill that was before us was a bill regarding whether PILT payments could be transferred from one entity to another in the course of changing a township becoming a city, I believe, was the discussion. And it was within this context that the notion of the issue of this sale that was not approved by the county came up. And when the final bill was, omnibus bill was brought before us, this provision was in it. And I did raise a question as to, you know, where this had come from, and it essentially was a reaction to the that non approval of the sale. I would just add also that as a former elected official and one who values that local control, that Senator Chaudhry's statement that the epitome of local control is for a landowner to make their own decision as to what do they want to do with their land. If that is the case, then that means that a local landowner's decision should override any zoning authority of our cities and counties. We do not have the right to sell and make every decision that we might wish to do with our land. We are under the authority of our local governments and their comprehensive plans and local zoning ordinances. And so to suggest that this one decision, if it were inconsistent at all with those ordinances, and that was a basis for making that, then I think probably that may or may not be the basis for what's going on in the legal action. But I think Senator Betzold makes a very good point that this is not an appropriate time to be intervening in that case on issues that I think weaken or jeopardize the policy that we have for every county and municipality in the state.
Okay, are we ready to vote on the amendment? Secretary will take the roll on the Chaudhry amendment. You're in your seats, you should be voting. This is the amendment. Chaudhry. All senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There'll be 32 ayes and 32 nays. The amendment is not adopted. Any further discussion on Senate File 1312? Question occurs on the motion by Senator Chaudhry that Senate File 1312 be recommended to pass. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails.
Mr.
Senator Pogamiller.
Mr. President, I believe Senator Marty is ready to go with number 20. That was progress the other day. And then we're looking for an omnibus water bill that Senator Scogin has. I don't know the number on general orders, but I'm looking for it.
Chair recognizes Senator Marty.
Mr. Chairman, I move when this committee do arise that Senate File 1398 be recommended to pass.
Senator Marty, discussion on the bill.
Mr. Chairman, this is a bill we progressed because there was an amendment that Senator Neville wanted to offer that he had to change. This is a bill that would give rights for domestic partners to visit their partners in the hospital, emergency room, et cetera. And I'd urge your support for the bill. I'm happy to stand for questions.
Discussion on the bill. Senator Neville.
Mr. President, I'd like to offer the A11 amendment.
Secretary will report the Neville A11 amendment.
Senator Neville moves to amend Senate File 1398, the second engrossment as follows. Page 1, line 9, this is the A11 amendment.
Senator Neville, on the amendment.
Thanks, Mr. Chair and members. When Senator Marty described this bill, he talked about wanting domestic partners to have access to nursing homes, hospitals, other health care facilities. And that can be accomplished without having to create a whole new definition of domestic partners. There's concern that the bill will be used to bootstrap litigation and try to equate domestic partnership with marriage. And after last year's numerous debates and concerns about a marriage amendment, there is a way to accomplish the goal that Senator Marty wishes to accomplish and stay out of the controversial question of whether Minnesota should start creating domestic partnerships that are equivalent to marriage. What this amendment does is delete the domestic partner definitions and language and provide, if you look at lines 7 through 9 of the amendment, it basically creates the right to visitation by any adult who regularly resides with the patient or resident if the patient or resident is unable to communicate the patient's or resident's wishes. So in other words, if the patient is able to communicate his wishes, then he can have anybody visit him that he wishes. If he's unable to, the fallback presumption is that any adult who regularly resides with that individual would qualify for visitation the same as any other family member that's in current law. I'm thinking of situations, for example, when I first got out of college and I lived with a fraternity brother and for a couple of years and we shared an apartment. If I would have gotten into a car accident, I certainly would want the person I was living with to be able to come and visit me. This is broad enough to encompass domestic partners without getting into the controversial issue. And I shared this amendment last week with Senator Marty. If he would be willing to accept it, I suspect that this bill will pass with almost unanimous support. If Senator Marty is unwilling to accept this amendment, then it seems to me, the way I analyze it, is that the purpose of his bill is not truly just to gain access to nursing homes and hospitals and healthcare facilities. The real purpose of the bill is something else. And the real purpose is to create some law that would form a basis for litigation over the constitutionality of our marriage law. So there's great concern over that, and I would ask for support of this amendment because it will accomplish exactly what Senator Marty said was the purpose of his bill. And frankly, it's broader than that, and I think it's broader than that in a reasonable and fair way. And I would ask for a roll call vote on the amendment.
Three heads. Senator Marty, there will be a roll call. Senator Marty.
Mr. President, I'm not going to challenge the germaneness of this because I think we ought to discuss this, but the bill, as it's coming in, is designed to make sure that somebody can be at the bedside of the person they care most about. And this seems to be more pushing, and I think it's a good idea to encourage people to execute health care directives, but it seems to be more direction there. But my concern is, Senator Neville, your story was, you know, you after college, you lived with a, I don't know if you said fraternity brother or whatever, and if you were in an accident, you'd want them to be able to. But we're not talking about roommates, about high school buddies, about somebody else who might want to visit somebody. There's not a problem with that. You use hospital during visiting hours, you go in and visit them. We're talking here where something like if you're in the hospital now and your spouse in your emergency room, you're a critical situation, the person you most want to have by your side is your partner, your wife. And there's no problem with that. Nobody's going to challenge her right to be there. But there are other people who's the person they love most. Domestic partner is somebody who is right now we're having trouble with getting them into certain situations. We've heard from healthcare providers, doctors, nurses, others who say they'd like this clarification so they can know if they're allowed to let somebody in that kind of situation so they don't have a problem with a lawsuit. They'd like some clarity about who it is. But we're not talking about the roommate visitation, somebody when they're in the hospital and you have visiting hours in the hospital. We're talking about a time when you might let the spouse into the room, but nobody else. And it's the time you most need somebody to be with you, the person you care most about, the person you care most about, person who's closest to you. For the good of the patient, we want to have them there. And I'd strongly urge you to urge members to reject this amendment. It's not a question of roommates visiting some friend in the hospital. It's a question of the person you've got a lifelong commitment to coming in and spending time when you most need their help in the process. You want somebody to be holding your hand at your bedside right before surgery, whatever. Not the time for regular visitation of anybody who lives with you.
Senator Neville.
Well, Mr. President, I'm a little confused by the explanation or the response, rather, from Senator Marty. It is the intent of this amendment to incorporate domestic partners. It is the intent to say that if two adults, two people of the same sex, two people of the opposite sex, who happen to live together, whether they are sexually involved or not, that they would be able to get access to a healthcare facility just like a spouse would, but we're not going to incorporate the definition, the controversial definition of domestic partnership, and try to equate that with a married couple. But this language is incorporated into the statute, at least that's my understanding of the read of it, to allow adults who regularly reside, domestic partner or not, the person you live with, whether you are married or not, to visit at any time that other family members could under current law. Senator Marty seems to be interpreting this narrowly. I'm telling you that the intent in offering this language is to interpret it expansively in a way that doesn't create the sensitive and controversial issue of equating domestic partnership with marriage. And if Senator Marty's bill should pass both houses of the legislature, I suspect it would have trouble passing into law. I expect that the governor would not likely support that. But I suspect that this one might actually have a chance of passing and accomplishing the goal that Senator Marty says he's trying to achieve. So I'm telling you what my intent is, and I'm telling you the way that I'm reading the language that I'm offering, but I think that the response back is not a good one. And I would also add, I didn't explain this right at the very beginning. The rest of this amendment says that if a person enters a facility, the first thing the facility has to do is offer them the opportunity to sign a health care directive. So if they are competent enough and able to communicate and execute a health care directive, it's got to be offered to them. And in the rest of Senator Marty's bill, a health care agent also has full access at all times to visit the individual that's in the healthcare facility. So there are actually two ways that a domestic partner or anyone else would be able to gain access to the patient in the healthcare facility.
Senator Marty.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Neville, your example is exactly the example you gave when you first explained the amendment is exactly the problem. You're not going to have a bunch of fraternity brothers that if I'm going into an emergency room, you're not going to have, got some fraternity brothers living here. Oh, they can all come in too. We're talking about the times, the critical times. We've heard from nurses and others who have said they're not sure. You know, we want to let the partner in. We want to let the spouse in, but we're not sure if we're allowed to in this case. And when you say there's a controversy over this, that's the problem. They don't want to have the problem. The nurse or doctor doesn't want to make a wrong decision on this because they're not sure what's allowed. What we're saying is the person you most care about, the person you've got a committed relationship with, the person you want at your bedside when you're dying, we're saying let's take out any question about that and just make it clear that they're allowed to be there. Yeah, as a fraternity brother, sure, let them come in and visit you in the hospital, but not in the emergency room. We're talking about the urgent times. This is just a matter of simple decency for people who shouldn't be ruled out in a situation. They're not going to let any housemate or somebody who lives with you into the room. They don't. It's just they will let your partner in. They will let your spouse in. We're saying let's let some other person who is equally committed to you be in instead.
Senator Roebling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Neville's amendment actually encompasses a lot more people. And I think that it would include people that you would want with you. For example, if your child goes to another state to college and you can't be there, you're the family, but you're not going to be there if they get in an accident. And you want somebody there with them, and that somebody could say, I live with him, I'm his roommate. That would allow them in at that critical time when maybe only family would have been in before, but the family isn't available. So at least somebody gets to be with them. And so Senator Neville's amendment actually seems much more compassionate to me, that we would allow someone to be with them who lives with them and cares about them. And it doesn't matter, as he said, what kind of a personal relationship they may have, or a sexual relationship, but it would be a personal relationship if they live together, somebody who cares about them. And so I think that certainly if we get what Senator Marty wants, plus we get something additional with what Senator Neville is offering here. And so I believe that we should support the Neville Amendment.
Senator Jagbar.
Thank you, Mr. Is it Mr. Chair or Mr. President? Mr. Chair, I rise in support of the Neville Amendment. If Senator Marty is truly trying to encompass committed relationships as well, this actually allows for a committed relationship between a man and a woman as well that might live together and have that committed relationship and really be interested in each other's care. So it actually broadens and opens the door and just makes it more acceptable without trying to narrow it down for other purposes.
Senator Hahn.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Would the author of the bill respond to a question?
He will yield. Senator Hahn.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And the question I'd like clarified, in the original bill that is being amended by Senator Neville's amendment, which I think is a good amendment, but in the original language of the bill, page 2, lines 13 through 22, I believe, there is a definition of a domestic partner. And I'm wondering whether you could tell us, Senator Marty, are there other places in statute where we have a definition of this term, or would this be the first definition of this term in statute?
Senator Marty.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Hahn, the term domestic partner and domestic partnership is in statute. I don't know if it's explicitly defined or not, but it is in statute.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm not familiar that it's been defined in any place in statute. That's why I was asking, and maybe someone else knows, but to my knowledge, it has not been defined in any other place in statute. I think Senator Neville's point that this may not be the appropriate vehicle to have a discussion on the definition of marriage. And if that is the intent of the author, to have a discussion on the definition of marriage, then we ought to have that explicitly and directly. If the intent is to facilitate people who are living with others that may not be married in their efforts to be with them at a time of need in a hospital, I think Senator Neville's amendment accomplishes that goal. So I think, members, if we're trying to facilitate that, then Senator Neville's amendment is the appropriate way to do it. If we want to have a debate on the understanding and definition of marriage, I would suggest there are other ways and other vehicles that debate could occur.
Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm not quite following the debate here, or not tracking on its rationale. Clearly, members and colleagues, Mr. President, or Mr. Chair, we're talking about an extraordinary circumstance where folks need someone who is closest to them by their side. You know, in some cases, making major decisions jointly, not just simply visiting. It's fine for roommates to visit. That's well and fine. We're not talking about marriage, and I don't know why all the hyperventilating about marriage, but we're talking about people who are a significant part of one's life, who share, who share their home, share their finances, share their life journey together, being next to each other, providing essential support for each other in the most dire of circumstances. So I'm not quite tracking on why this is such a great concern and why folks are invoking the notion that somehow marriage is going to be questioned. This supports people's ability to take responsibility for each other, to be with each other, to interact and intervene and advocate if need be in with the healthcare system. That's very important for someone. It's not a visitation. It's not bringing flowers. It's not bringing card and candy and wishing you well, patting you on the head, and going on your merry way. This is about people who need to stick by each other in the most trying of circumstances and difficult of times. And that's what this attempts to do.
Senator Marty.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Jungbauer, the bill as it is right now does not specify the gender. It means one adult who has entered into a committed interdependent relationship with another adult, regardless of the gender. It doesn't specify that. And Senator Hand, no, this is not about marriage issues. That is a different debate. It's one that's worth discussing, but that's not what this bill is about. This bill is about letting people visit the person they care most about in the hospital. And there's a big difference between saying your spouse or Senator Dibble's partner and saying a bunch of fraternity guys who live with me. You let your spouse or his partner into the emergency room, into those situations where you're not going to let anyone else. And Senator Neville's amendment is simply saying, oh, you can, anybody who lives with him can come in there. And they're going to say, well, that means you can come in there during visiting hours. We're trying to say we haven't had a problem with people, fraternity brothers or whatever Senator Neville's example was. We haven't had a problem with hospitals saying they can't come visit. What we do have is we've had people whose partners have not been allowed to come visit, have not been allowed to be there at the bedside. That's what we're trying to address here. And if that's controversial, I don't think it should be. I think that somebody who's in love with somebody else who cares deeply about them, they should be able to be at their bedside when they most need them.
Senator Pariseau.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to rise to support the Neville Amendment because I think it does everything that we want to have for families who have people who they'd like to have visit, even if they're incapable of stating that or indicating it themselves. And I do believe that it does, for Senator Marty's situation that he's talking about, he's describing, it does what he needs as well. And I think there's no reason to not support it, and I can't understand why Senator Marty can't see that is coming along with what Senator Neville is offering. Frankly, I can remember sitting when my sister was very ill in the hospital and they knew she was not going to make it. Not only did one of her daughters was out of the state and they were waiting for her to return. In the meantime, her husband and the other sisters rallied the rest of the relatives and we were all allowed to come in, though we were not immediate family. For instance, spouse or offspring. We were sisters, and our spouses were welcome to come with us, though not all were available to do that. And they were quite liberal with allowing that to happen because they were waiting for their sister to come back. And I think that they want people to have visitors because the whole family is happier that way. And so it isn't the hospitals that are causing the trouble. It's the fact that we get into fights here and don't define things in ways that can work in many situations. And I think Senator Neville has a very good amendment for that.
Senator Hand.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I guess I'm not sure if I follow the argument that the author of the bill is making, that this has nothing to do with the status of marriage. I think that the point or the potential problem is that if someone says, well, I should be admitted into the hospital because I'm a domestic partner of the patient. Well, what does that mean? And then this bill says, here's how it's defined. It means an adult who has entered into a committed interdependent relationship with another adult. These are terms that beg for definition. What does that mean? It refers to, on line 17, not related by blood or adoption to an extent that would prohibit marriage in the state. In other words, I think that the language of this bill is presuming a relationship that can somehow be documented, that can somehow be established, that someone can come in and say, here's my documentation or here's my proof that I'm this person in this relationship, and to say that this can be done without some presumed challenge to the existing statutes on marriage, I think, I just don't see how that can be. How does one go about and establish their domestic partner unless that status becomes recognized in law as meaning a particular thing, in fact, meaning the very thing that this language refers to, even though it's not entirely clear what that means? I think this language is clearly asking for legal interpretation, and that's what would occur. And that would get at, what are we talking about? What is a domestic partner? Is it the same as marriage? And so, again, I think, members, if we want to debate the status of marriage in Minnesota and whether or not the laws that we have currently are adequate or not, then we ought to have that debate. And if the intent of this bill is to have that debate, I think there are things that we could bring into that debate. But if the intent is to simply facilitate the people who live with, share the same house with, whether they are the same sex or another sex, whether they are having a relationship of a sexual nature or not, I think that that Senator Neville's amendment is a very effective way to accomplish that. I know before I was married, I lived with a friend from college. We were very good friends. We lived together for about 3 years. I think that had I gone into the hospital or had he gone into the hospital, either one of us would have wanted to go in and be a part of what was going on. And so I think that if the intent is to allow that to occur, then Senator Neville's amendment is the appropriate way to do that. If we are wanting to debate the status of marriage in Minnesota, let's do that, but I would say let's do it directly and not bring it in as a way to get at something that really is getting at much more than that. So, members, I would urge that we support Senator Neville's amendment.
All right, I think we're pretty close to voting. Senator Marty, a final word.
Mr. Chairman, I would urge a red vote on the amendment. This is language the Senate has passed before. This is simple a matter of being decent to somebody who cares deeply about you. We're not trying to give extra recognition rights to fraternity brothers or the other example Senator Neville gave. We're simply saying if somebody loves somebody else, has made a lifelong commitment to them, that makes sense. And Senator Parisot's own example of, oh, yeah, they allowed all the cousins and relatives in. Who made that decision? It was the spouse. She said her sister's husband invited us all in. And that's who should be making those choices, the partner or the spouse. That's what we want here. I urge a red vote.
Secretary, will we take the vote on the A11 Neville amendment? All senators, having voted, who desire to vote, Secretary will close the roll. There will be 31 ayes, 34 nays. The amendment is not adopted. Any further discussion on the bill? Now we're in the committee of the whole, right? Okay, so the question occurs, Senator Hand.
Mr. Chairman, is there a roll call vote on the bill itself?
There could be with three hands. We could, yeah. There, yes, there could be.
If none has been requested, I'd like to request a roll call on the pass.
Okay. Secretary. Yeah, I saw three hands. We'll take the roll. The vote is under recommendation to pass out of this out of the full committee. All senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. We had 43 ayes, 21 nays. The recommendation to pass is approved.
Mr. President.
Senator Pogueviller.
I would move that the committee do now rise and report.
On the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. The Senate will come to order.
Senator Mr. Pogueviller. That was Mr. Chairman. I apologize. Yeah. Mr. President, now.
Yeah.
I move that the report of the committee of the whole, as kept by the Secretary, be now adopted.
On the Pogueviller motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Senator Pogueviller.
Mr. President, I would suggest I visit with Senator Senjum that we have Senator Langseth discuss the Bonding Bill Conference Committee report, and we, of course, have to wait for it to be sent from the House. So the idea would be to discuss it now, take questions, and then we would recess until we get the report from the House. They have not taken it up yet. And I believe Senator Langseth is willing to do that. So this will be a discussion of the conference committee report on House file.
Since Friday. Okay, let me just say that the conference committee report on the bonding bill has been at your desk since Friday, so it is tucked away underneath. So,
okay, so go underneath and get it, and it's on House file.
House file 886, Senator Langseth.
Mr. President, members of the Senate, there are not very many major changes in the bill. I would say as far as the money is concerned, the main thing was that we went into conference committee with just a placeholder for the Red Lake High School at $5 million, and we went with the House on the $30 million request. Other than that, there's just some very minor changes. We went along with a few small items of theirs, and we came down a little bit. But that $25 million additional took us from $137 million in the one time up to $162 million, and the bill was at $164 million one-time money. So other than that particular change, there really was not much difference in the money. One other major change was that we went in with the authorization for the University of Minnesota to build several medical technology buildings in the future. The House would not support us on that. Hopefully that is still alive and something could happen in the future. Something else we'd kind of hope would surface was some funding for the Capitol restoration to get started, but that did not seem to have the support from the House either. But that also, I think, is something that may surface at some time between now and the end of session. As far as the governor's proposals are concerned, we had all the proposals that he had in his bonding bill. Since then, he's made public statements about support for $96.4 million worth of expenditures over and above his $71 million. And those that we have noticed, he has made public statements in favor of the University of Minnesota Biomedical Research Building, $14.4 million, Itasca County Infrastructure, $30 million, Central Corridor, $40 million, Rice Street Bridge, $2 million, St. Paul Hockey Arena, $10 million. So he actually has made commitments, $96 million over and above his the amount that he had in his bonding bill. And, of course, a fair amount of that would have to be one-time money because the $96 million and the $71 million would be considerably over $135 million we were allowed for bonding. But that is basically it. The spreadsheet does show where there's a few little changes. If you have any questions, I'll be glad to answer them.
Any questions on...
Mr. President, the spreadsheet, I think, was put on the desk here quite a while ago. I don't know if it's been put out or not.
It was put.
We're all right. Any discussion?
Well, I guess it's coming now. So.
Oh, the spreadsheet. I see. Senator, you have described the differences already, but you're.
Mr. President, except for some of the very small amounts, so if anybody has any questions on that, the spreadsheet does explain any changes that were made, but I explained those that had any very much money involved. I don't think we eliminated any of the projects. We did have to come down on a couple of things to make room for some of the things that they did. We added a few very, very small projects, but not to amount to much. But if anybody...
Okay. Well, we'll entertain questions at this point, Senator Pappas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Senator Langseth, I see from the spreadsheet that you were able to get the repair and replacement dollars for the U of M and MinSCU, and I thank you for that. But not having the language, I'm just wondering what's happened with the Bioscience Authority for the university. I see that you have money in here for a facility, but they were requesting ongoing authority, and we know how important that is in terms of the research mission of the university and the economic viability of our state. So could you tell us about that, please?
Mr. President, Senator Pappas, I did mention that the House would not go along with that ongoing authorization. We do just at this point have the one request for this particular year, but that is still being discussed behind the scenes, and hopefully at some point we'll be able to get that included.
Senator Pappas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Senator Langseth, well, why was the House so insistent and adamant on not doing this? We in the Senate know how important this is, and I know what a tough negotiator you are, Senator Langseth, so how come you caved?
Senator...
Mr. President, there were four people on the House side that said they would not support it, and obviously it takes three from each side. But I think there's quite a bit of support among leadership in both houses and even among the governor, even though he hasn't said anything yet. Hopefully we'll get there.
Senator Michel.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would Senator Langseth yield for a question?
Senator Langseth will yield. Senator Michel.
Thank you. Senator Langseth, not so much a question about the substance of the bill, but more a question about the timing. Here we are on the last day of April, and I'm not sure if we have targets yet. Maybe Senator Pogermiller could respond on that point, but I don't know if we have targets. I don't know if we have an agreement on a tax bill, and this just strikes me as premature. Why do we want to take up the tax bill, or excuse me, the bonding bill today?
Mr. President, as I understand it, there are targets for several of the conference committees. I think some of them aren't going to be out yet this week, so at the most, we'd be just a few days ahead, I think, but Senator Pogermiller could elaborate on that.
Senator Pogermiller.
Mr. President, Senator Michel, three conference committees have already publicly announced their targets. I believe Ag has actually wrapped up its bill. Crime will be wrapping theirs up in the next day or so, public safety. And environment will be wrapping up in the next day or so. Those targets have already been announced in the conference committees. There will be three more that are announced today in the conference committees. And so that's seven targets out of 10 or 12. So we're moving along, and I think you'll be pleased to know that the targets of these initial bills are actually, for many of them, are under the targets of the governor. So we are trying to accommodate the governor's needs on spending, and I think we're making good progress. And this bill, as Senator Langseth just mentioned, the governor has publicly supported each and everything in this bill, I'm aware, and so we didn't think that this would be a difficulty for him.
Mr. President,
Michelle.
I appreciate the majority leader's comments. So should I take that to mean that the governor and his staff have signed off on this bill that's kind of before the body right now?
Mr. President. Senator Pogermiller.
Mr. President, I think it's fair to say that we have discussed all the details of this bill and the targets on the six other bills, and the governor has sent letters on all these things, and we're optimistic that the governor has many things in this bill that he can be supportive of. But I would not characterize it that the governor has signed off on this bill. I don't think that's fair to say, but he's been aware of everything in the bill, and we believe he's supportive of everything in the bill. As you know, we actually took something out last week in the conference because it became apparent that bond counsel thought that was not quite ready for prime time. And so Senator Langseth reopened the conference and took that provision out. We're working very carefully to try to provide things out of the Senate and the House that the governor will be comfortable with.
Senator Langseth.
Mr. President, the governor's office requested that Commissioner Tom Hansen be able to speak before the conference committee to explain the governor's position. We did allow him to do that, and that's where he mentioned several of these things that I have on this list. I don't think there's ever been a comment from the governor's office that said he was against anything that's in our bill. He has talked about the size of it. He said it's four times what his is, but his requests or show of support is up to $167 million, and he hasn't as yet said anything against any one thing in the bill. And so we did allow him to come before the conference committee, or his spokesman, and we listened to him and asked questions and talked to him about it. And everything that the governor has in his bill or that Commissioner Hansen mentioned that he supported, plus some other public statements, All that is in the bill. There is not anything that the governor has indicated he supported that is not in the bill.
Senator Michel.
Thank you, Mr. President. I appreciate the background from both Senator Pogemiller and Senator Langseth. Again, members, though, I think the point is this time of the year, we don't do any one bill in a vacuum. You know, this is one of the most significant pieces of legislation that we will do, and it should be a good one, and we should be sure that it's going to be signed into law or that it's not going to have line item vetoes, and I don't think we have that today. I know we don't have that today. And I think Commissioner Hansen's testimony, from what I understand it, was slow down. There's no hurry here, Senator Langseth. As Senator Pappas made a point, you're renowned around this building for striking a hard bargain. I think if we gave you a couple more weeks, we could see some more things in this bill that would be beneficial to the state, such as the University of Minnesota Bonding Authority. And again, I just think we need to see the entire tax and spending package before we do a bonding bill. Members, this is not my line, but we've used it before. We should have the main course and the vegetables before we have dessert. A bonding bill is the dessert. This is the extra. This is the icing on the cake for a typical legislative session. So we should slow down.
Mr. President.
Senator Langseth.
Mr. President, 2 years ago, we came back just after Easter. I got together with the governor, and we passed the bill considerably earlier than what we are now. And that was a budget year as well. So to indicate that we normally don't pass them this early is totally wrong, because 2 years ago we passed it considerably earlier than this.
Mr. President.
Senator Michel.
And Senator Lance is absolutely right. In 2005, we passed a bonding bill. We didn't pass one in 2004. We didn't pass one in 2004, so we fast-tracked one. That was absolutely the right thing to do.
Mr. President?
Mr. President, just to respond to that, I think we all know why we didn't pass one in 2004. It didn't get quite enough votes from your side of the aisle, and I think the inflationary costs were $30, $40 million by that year's delay.
Mr. President?
Senator Pogemiller.
Senator Michel, as I recall, you were on this conference committee. You were not. That's a disappointment. I wish you had been. Because I agree with you on that University of Minnesota provision. But it's our understanding, it's my understanding, that Senator Langseth fought hard for that, and the House was not ready to accept it, and I believe there was not much help from the governor on that provision. But we hope, Senator Langseth has asked the governor's office to assist in convincing the House, and we hope in a later bill to accomplish that provision. And I think with a little assist from the governor, a little leadership from the governor on that, I think we can get that. But Senator Michel, did I hear you say that if we would slow this bill down, you would think we should spend more? Did you suggest that you would like to have additional items in this bill in order to gather even more support? You would like even more dessert, apparently. Is that, I think I heard you say you would like more spending.
Mr. President.
Senator Michel.
Are we putting you to sleep, Mr. President?
No, not at all.
Well, Senator Pogemiller, that would be great icing on the cake, this university authority that we've talked about. I think, the Constitution actually requires a supermajority for a bonding bill. This should be one of the most bipartisan bills that we do this year. This should have the governor's clear support, and I don't think we have that just now. Without knowing what the rest of the tax and spending decisions for the 2007 session are going to be, this feels a little early.
Well, Mr. President.
Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, Senator Michel, we are trying to do things differently this year to avoid the end of rush, the rush at the end of the session. We're trying to take things in an orderly fashion on a bipartisan basis that allow us to make progress. And I think it's been a failed strategy in the last few years to basically hold everything hostage for everything else. And we are frankly trying to avoid that. We're trying to proceed, as Senator Langseth has said, he's trying to proceed with items that the governor is supportive of, and as again, I think everything in this bill the governor is supportive of. And so it just seems odd that, as the governor's office said, let's do things we can agree on first and leave the more difficult problems for later. And so we are trying to proceed with something that we know he agrees on. I know he's been publicly supportive of the Duluth project, publicly supportive of the St. Cloud project. I think there's common agreement on the $135 million. So again, are you aware of any item in this bill that the governor does not support?
Senator Michelle.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm being reminded by my colleagues. I can't speak for the governor, and I don't mean to. But, however, Senator Pogemiller, you can be for everything, every item in this bill, and still not be comfortable that this is the right time to do it. I do think the votes and the vote totals on the board could be very different on May 20th for this kind of bill.
Well, Mr. President, I think obviously there can be a disagreement on this, but I would hope that we're not here on May 20th. I would hope that we have a ceremonial adjournment on the 21st and that we do not have this big rush late into the night on bills. Our hope would be that we will do things in an orderly process. I believe this was one of the first bills the Senate passed, and we've simply been waiting for the House to get there, and now they're there. And let's do some things we can agree on. We've agreed on some other things with the governor. Let's do some more things we agree on.
Senator Wirgut.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Pogemiller, I'm with you. I hope we do a ceremonial adjournment on the 21st, and it's all nice and well and good at that point in time. And Senator Langseth did a very nice and amicable job of leading this committee forward. I thought the Senate bill, as it went into conference committee, was a good bill. I disagree with some of the changes that came about as part of the negotiating with the House. The biosciences being left out is a difficult problem. The second problem is that the state capital restoration and improvements were left out. And I corresponded those things to Senator Langseth so that he knew there were strong positions for me. And Senator Pogemiller, I think you're right in that, I'm not speaking for the governor, but I think you have it right in that the governor probably supports most of what this bill is in the bonding and probably even in the general fund amounts of money. I think the question becomes with the cash portion, and I'm speaking only of the cash portion of this capital investment bill. It's $164 million. And at this point in the session, we don't have the amounts of that one-time spending and where they're going in relationship with the rest of the budget. And so I think that's where the consternation comes, simply in dedicating a significant portion of the cash money towards projects before we know where all of the targets and how much of that cash, if we will, is going to be used for other areas of the budget. I have a project in here that is out of the cash portion of this bill, and it's a good project. It's a forensic crime lab that will be used by the time it's finished, actually five counties in conjunction with each other. But the problem comes in not knowing how much of that one-time cash is going to be used for things such as education initiatives or public safety initiatives or health and human service initiatives and all of those other areas of the budget. So I don't think it's the overall quality of the bill. And I do think that Senator Langseth hung on tenaciously about as long as he could under the biosciences. He did a good job of that. I think it is the amount of cash at this point in time. That's a little bit of a difficulty for some people. Thank you.
Mr. President.
Senator Langseth.
Mr. President, as far as the one-time money is concerned, this bill contains less than $1 out of every $6 of the one-time money. This will leave something like 85% of the one-time money left for everything else.
Okay, Mr. President, if there's no further discussion, then I would move that the Senate recess. Do you have some announcements you want to make first, Mr. President?
Yeah, that conference committee excused pursuant to Rule 12. Senator Anderson moved that the following members be excused for conference committee on Senate File 2096 at 2:30 p.m. Anderson, Frederickson, Saxog, Chaudhry, and Senator Torres Rape. Senator Pogemiller, you have to make this as a motion, apparently, to excuse these members. On to Pogemiller to motion to excuse the conference committee, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Senator Saxog, or Senjum.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. Majority, could you, to the extent you're able, I know it's hard, but could you give us some idea of what you might see our week looking like in terms of at least floor sessions?
Mr. President, today we're going to recess and then come back when we can process the capital investment bill, conference committee report. Tomorrow, I think we'd mostly like to have conference committee's meeting, so we will, if we do have a floor session, it would tend to be relatively brief, somewhere around the lunch hour. And then Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and Saturday, I believe we will meet this Saturday, and we will be hoping to vote Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday on the six or seven bills where the conference committee targets have been set. There may be some odds and ends in terms of the general orders, but we've processed pretty much most of our work. There's a few odds and ends left there, but we're mostly now processing conference committee reports. So, Mr. President, I would move to recess.
Before that, Senator Wergen.
Thank you, Mr. President. Will Senator Pogemiller yield?
Wergen.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Pogemiller, I'm sorry, I did not hear. I apologize. Probably wasn't listening close enough. Which committees do have targets and which ones do not, since those targets were due on Friday and today is Monday? Friday earlier in the day, you said, well, the day isn't over, but Friday passed. Here we are on Monday, and if you name the committees, fine, yes. But I'd like to hear them, if you would, please.
Sure.
Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, Public Safety has a target. I believe they're going to finish their conference committee today. Ag and Vets finished their conference committee last night. They have a target. Environment has a target, and I believe they will finish Wednesday. State government has a target, and they will finish noon on Wednesday. These next three have not been announced in the conference yet, but they have targets. They will announce it when they meet today. The previous three have already publicly announced. State government has a target. They will finish on Wednesday. They will announce their target publicly today in the conference. Human Services has their target. They will announce their target in the conference. And I believe they need to be done by noon on Thursday. And then there's one more. Economic Development needs to be done by noon on Wednesday, and their target will be announced today in their conference.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Pogemiller, I didn't hear you mention E-12.
I did. Mr. President, that's correct, Senator Wergen. We have not. We've been, the governor asked last week to be involved in these discussions, and so we have slowed down to involve the governor's office. As you know, he was out of town over the weekend, and so we are engaging in further discussions with his office on those bills. And so the ones that are outstanding are the E-12 bill, the higher ed bill, the omnibus tax bill and education investment bill too.
That's how we're
and transportation, obviously, but transportation, I think we all know that that's a separate kind of situation.
Thank you, Mr. President. Well, Senator Pogamiller, I appreciate that you're working with the governor's office, because I hope we don't have to go through a whole round of second budgets. That wouldn't be good for any of us, I don't believe. I do hope that we do hear by the end of the day that the negotiations are going well and that we have targets for the other committees, because you mentioned a little bit earlier that we will be voting on Wednesday through Saturday. Makes a pretty tight timeline, and just to give you an example of how tight that can be sometimes, we've even seen in some cases second engrossments on our computer screen and had to go find out what the third engrossment is because it's not quite ready. So I think we need some time. So I think if we can get those targets, the sooner the better, so that the committees can be done and so that we have time to look at some of the big bills that are coming forward. The budget bills have the dollar targets in it, but they have a lot of provisions that I think we all want to become familiar with in order to vote on them. So, Senator Pogamiller, I hope those targets are set as soon as possible. I'm a little dismayed that they weren't on Friday, but I'm glad that you're working with the governor's office to get an amicable agreement. I'm looking forward to seeing the bills and hoping we have time to look through them clearly. Thank you.
Well, Mr. President, Senator Wergen, I will make it. I don't want you to be amazed, or I think that's the word you said, dismayed. Frankly, we slowed down because the governor wanted to be involved. So we slowed down.
Senator Sanjo. Senator Sanjo.
Mr. President, Senator Pogamiller, can you give the body some idea as to now, these are targets, probably, obviously, maybe, perhaps, set between the House and the Senate, at least on the DFL side. Is the governor sort of weaving into these a little bit, or can you give us some sense of where the governor might be on these targets? And I know you can't be precise. I wouldn't expect you to be, but we are talking to the governor as we're moving into these targets. Is that right?
Mr. President.
Senator Pogamiller.
I think it would be fair to characterize the first three as ones the governor seems to be comfortable with. They did express their differences on some of the items in the bill through all those letters. On the next three, they, I guess, didn't express any positive or negatives. They said thank you. So I certainly don't want to characterize that the governor has signed off on all this. He has not. He made that very clear in every meeting that he's not signing off on things. Okay? So we tried to incorporate him. He asked for his office to be in contact with our people as these targets were set. I'll just tell you the process. The process was Senator Cohen sat with their Ways and Means Chair and their Finance Chair and came up with suggested targets. The Speaker and I and Senator Clark and Senator Representative Sergich then reviewed what those finance people had done and asked them to make some adjustments. Then we kind of came to a consensus, and then we met with the various chairs and described where we were at. We have resisted trying to conferee the bills for the conference committees. We've set a permanent money target, a one-time money target, and a tails target. And the conferees, we gave no instruction. We moved some things, like higher ed was moved out of the economic development bill to the higher ed bill, the U of M Mayo thing. I forget, was that in our, was where did we have it originally? Okay. Well, the House had it in one, and we've moved that discussion to the higher ed bill. But other than minor things like that, we've pretty much just stuck to the numbers. And I know Senator Cohen has not been directive to his conferees on the numbers other than here's what they are. I think he's probably expressed some aspirations, but has not directed the conferees in any fashion. I will say there is one direction from leadership. And that was, we came out of the Senate with a 3.25 assumption as a minimum for the compensation, and we've agreed to 3%. the Senate. So the Senate has come down off its 3.25% to 3%. But that's a minimum. I would think that, Senator Cohen, I think that's the only thing that's been directive from the top on these bills. So.
Senator Porter-Miller. Move to recess.
Mr. President, they are on the bonding bill now, so why don't we let's try let's try 4 o'clock. Is everybody, let me just ask, are members done chatting on this bill? Because if not, we would like to chat now. So we'll meet at 4 and hopefully just get right to the vote. So, Mr. President, I move that we recess till 4 o'clock, and maybe there's some announcements.
Senator Berglund, did you wish to chat? Oh,
no. No, Mr. President, when we do these little recesses, we don't really have any place for announcements, and I just wanted to tell the conferees from the Health and Human Services Budget Conference Committee that we will be meeting 1/2 hour after the House is finished.
Mr. President, before we recess, I'd like to recognize a former member of the Senate in the back of the chambers, Senator Piper.
Yeah, Senator Piper.
And I renew my motion to recess till 4 o'clock.
On the motion to recess till 4. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. The Senate stands in recess.